Welcome to SaaS Open Mic by Chart Mogul. I'm Annie Musgrove. Ever wondered what metrics investors really want to see? Or the all-too-common mistakes founders make when pitching their startups? This week, Ed visited the headquarters of Connect Ventures, a London-based VC focusing on early seed-stage investments in the technology space. Having invested in companies such as Typeform, Infogram, Marvel, and CityMapper, the Connect Ventures team certainly knows how to identify a passionate and product-driven business. Managing partner Pietro Bezza spoke to Ed about how he sees the role of a product-focused VC in the SaaS space, as well as the key qualities he really looks for in founders. Enjoy interviews like this? Let us know by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud. And now, here's Ed and Pietro.
Awesome. So, Pietro, thanks so much. It's good to sit down with you, and it's nice to be here in London, and I'm really happy that you could come and chat to me. I think it's really good to get like a SaaS investor perspective on.
Yeah, thanks Ed for having me here in this rainy summer.
It's raining, well, perhaps more than I've ever seen it rain in London. So so let's start at the beginning. I think it makes sense to kind of for you to describe what Connect Ventures is and what you guys do as a VC.
Yes, it's a question that I wonder myself very often, especially when I try to explain my job to my parents or my 5-year-old son, which both are like age issue to get the full picture. And so one way to explain that, I think, or the way I like to think of what I do is to help extraordinary people do extraordinary things. The version for my kid is more like help superheroes to turn impossible into possible.
That's cool.
He's very into superheroes. So for I think it worked for him. But it's true because our kind of mission is to help these exceptional talents, and you really need incredible personal trait and incredible talented people in technology and design, in creativity. And our role is basically help them, support them. I like the emphasis on the help part of the things, because I'm totally in with the fact that venture capital is a service business at core. Mm-hmm. We provide capital, of course, and then advise and network over time. But really, we, especially at Connect, really be like BD and so on, but we totally respect that, the fact that is the founders team that really it makes things happen, and our role is support and do whatever it takes to make them succeed.
So you guys focus on early stage investments.
Yes.
My first question would be why, and what's the reason behind that?
Yeah, so I need to do a bit of step back to explain like why we're doing this and why early stage, and also in a way also why Europe. And so kind of the foundation vision for Connect Ventures and is that when we co-founded Connect Ventures, Bill Sitter and myself in 2011, we definitely have one strong belief that the three of us has in his mind and his heart, that we really believe in product-led companies. Mm-hmm. That because we think that at the end, a technology business is an innovation business. Mm-hmm. And so technology is, I'm confessing my Italian and Italian origin and my classic studies, but technology comes from Greek techne, which means technically is the art of crafting, the skills of craft things better, and so to make things better. And so a technology business at its heart is its role is to make things better through technology and through innovation. And the innovation at the end is product. So product are innovation cycles through them is the founder can design a better experience. And that's for that reason that we believe that products come before the companies. And so when we invest in product. And product must be the answer to every strategic puzzle. It should be the foundation for solve the problem that the founders are finding and want to tackle, but also it also is the answer for growth, is the answer for hiring strategy, and it should be so the start of the company, but also the growth engine. Mm. And I'm not saying that other components are not indispensable to create an incredible category winner, like the market and other functional like sales and marketing, etc. But I think having a strong foundation and DNA in product is a necessary, non-sufficient condition to succeed. Mm. And so, why early stage, coming ahead to your question, is that you can't, so product innovation is the most hard capabilities for a company to find. And it's something that either is at the DNA of the company at the day one, at the point zero, or you can't add over time. And it's 0 to 1 journey. So from like product market fit that's happened at seed where we invest is where we think you build the really pillars for the company. And that's what we like to be there.
Cool. So you yourself have experience growing and leading a business prior to Connect Ventures. How would you say that's, or perhaps you could just explain what you did previously first, and then that's affected your work at Connect in obviously many ways. But
look, of course it affects, because it must be affected. I haven't yet a clear picture how. I think it's evolving over time. So just to give you the background. So I've been an operator in marketing and branding for 5 years. And then when I was 28, I co-founded Neo Network in Italy, in Milan. And the idea was to bring digital interactive content online. It was the period where TV was dead, and internet would have killed the TV. And everyone has his own show on demand, interactive, which is something is gonna be true now after 15 years. Mm-hmm. And so we pivoted a couple of times, because like offering portal interactive TV show after 2001 wasn't a great deal, but we were kind of lucky, or we were the right team at the right moment to instead pivot to mobile.
Okay.
And so we're very good in like designing and building editorial content and messaging apps, interacting stuff. And so instead of selling to portal, we start distributing through telcos to consumer SMS application, SMS content. Okay. And that was an incredible booming segment where to be, and like together with UK, Italy and Japan were the leader. And that was like from 2003 to 2007 was an incredible growth, kind of hyper growth. We go from like minus to like $40 million in revenue, very profitable, 80 people. It was an incredible journey. Huh. Then we sold the company to Zodiac Media, which is a big conglomerate in content production, a la Endemol. Mm. And I stayed 3 years. And then so 30 years as CEO of being the digital unit of this big group. And so after 3 years in corporations, okay, I want to keep working on the startup. I mean, the smaller the better, like think small is my mantra in when it comes to like simplicity and the less is more. And so really like get back in the product. And so my experience as a CEO founder is, of course, that most of the things I advise the founders I invest and I back is to avoid all the fucked up I did as a founder myself. But as opposite, because I try also to learn what I learned, because it was a completely different era. Where it was more, yes, we develop apps, but it was more a business development, the success factor to try to be the first to be distributed by the telco. Mm-hmm. And once you were there, basically you were the only dating SMS app. And it's not like where you go on app stores, you're like 1,000. So if your product is not 10 times better than the other, you're not going to exist. Mm-hmm. And so what and also was kind of like Europe, my company was a European play. We didn't raise a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so now instead I'm almost the opposite mantra. So like product first, be global first, day one. Once you get product market fit, accelerate. Mm-hmm. And so in a way, I try to apply my previous experience more in the management kind of style, and how you build the team, how create a great culture in the companies. But so more on the soft things, but not on the hard thing, because my company couldn't be successful nowadays.
Mm, mm. You also mentioned that you sometimes make decisions based on you invest in a team. In the case where a product is not there yet or doesn't exist yet, could you tell me some of the qualities you can identify or flags that you see in a team that tell you that this is something that can be successful?
Yes, it's overall. Every investor, every firm has a thesis or like a style, and basically this criteria is changed based on where the pendulum swing between product, market, and team. Mm-hmm. Someone's put more efforts on market, someone puts more on product, someone puts more on team. Of course, team is must be exceptional, but for it, based on your stage or your style, it could have a different relevancy. Mm-hmm. And so for us, also because we invest sometimes only on team, literally there is no product, or okay, there is like some product, right? For us, the most important thing is that the founders or the team, we call it mission-led, mission-driven. Mm-hmm. When someone say why, so the most important question we ask is like, why are you doing this? What's your purpose? Why you want to spend 10 years of your life and giving up a lot of things for this? And if the answer says, oh, because I think I'm running a startup school, or is the answer is, because of one, I have an idea to do my own startup. These are red flags for us. I mean, we really want to back people that they don't want to build company. Probably they hate building companies, but they really couldn't live without solving the problem that they were facing every day. And so there wasn't any solution that they really likes them on the market. And so you know what? I'm just creating a better version for this product. I'm just reimagining something that could just solve the problem. Mm-hmm. And so we are totally fine, for example, when someone say, oh, I've been working this as a pet project for 1 year. It's great. Mm-hmm. Because it means that you really want to solve the problem and not like build a company, right? So, and so these kind of founders that we call this founder market fit technically, but it's not just a domain expertise. Also because we back dropouts, so it's 22, 23 years old, so they have actually zero domain expertise in terms of professional knowledge of the sector or the network of the people. They know nothing about how the market players, but instead they have incredible insight of that specific problem.
Okay.
And I can give you a lot of example of that, but we have just invested in a company in France where it basically is a marketplace for students to find great temporary job and to be offered to company, and the four founders are four students. They've been through the harsh of trying to do some job during their studies, and it was impossible to find good job or to find to quick job in a good companies. And so they say, okay, why don't we create a platform where someone select the best students and the best companies and do the matchmaking. So they know nothing about, of course, the employment work because they're students, but they are students.
Yeah.
So they totally have a good insight of what you need to be served well in this market, this target audience. And I can give you a lot of examples of that. And and so for why we are so obsessed with like mission driven is because for two main reasons. One, these people think in terms of a problem solution, and so they come with a product. Mm-hmm. The answer to the problem is design and building a product. Is there's no other way to tackle that. And again, because we think that product is innovation and is the way to the business, not vice versa. Mm. Being investing in mission driven founders is a key for that. And the second reason is that if you are like really really tied with you, let's say your market, your category, and you have a special bond with that, and you work for a purpose, you always be for the long run. You're not gonna do a flip. You're not like kind of a mercenary, or I do this because it's a seen opportunity, I wanna seize it, I build something and I flip and sell in 2 years. And now, you know, being VC, even if our fund is a small fund, it's a £50 million, the second fund. So it's very good for deploying seed in Europe, but still is big enough that where we need like big, to be part of a big company, big, high valuable company over time. And so we need also to go to partner with founders that can stay 10 years and build big companies. And only someone that is mission driven has the ability to expand over time the boundaries of his sector and go after big things. Mm. And also innovation is very, very quick in cycles. And so if you're not a product person, you can't really re-innovate at the next technology change.
Okay. And
that's why we really I can't stress this more, stand by founder CEO. So we really think that the over time CEO must be the founders, because he imagined the first time the idea, the product, the company. He created from nothing something. And so when the first answer is no longer viable, he just can reimagine again and without panicking. He said, you know, if someone's coming to the company as a CEO and the company's already grown, when something changes and you see things that not working, you just panic, say, okay, this is not growing forever unless we do something. So founders are very good in creating, maybe are not very good at maximizing things.
Yeah.
But we see the technology company like surfing, keep surfing on another changes. And so only someone that really has a bond with the market and can reimagine and design product and solution with great UX is the key.
Okay. Oh, that's really interesting that...
I hope this makes sense. It's like...
Yeah, no, it's... I love that point that... so basically you're arguing that the founder is always the best equipped person to...
It's by definition. It's because, again, it must be a learnable people. Because, again, as product is not a sufficient condition to succeed, a product-centric founder mission, founder is not in a sufficient condition to succeed. We thought it's necessary. And of course then, once they build the product, they have to build a company and they have to understand how to run a company, and which is, it's a big thing. It's a big thing, and it's about like organization, culture, communication, grow, money. So the other attribute we really want to see is how learnable you are. And that doesn't mean that you not have to be incredibly strong opinionated, but we like debatable founders. If you're on a mission, you really have to fight for your opinion. That, again, and it doesn't mean that you have to be also coachable and you have to listen. And so a strong opinion, loosely held kind of person is our best ideal. And we are totally fine if are a bit untractable or they have been saying they are difficult. Also, sometimes it's there are founders what we really like to work with because they're like so the great empathy and so nice. Someone else is you have also great founders that you should work with and maybe are kind of like, it takes a bit of your passion, let's say, to work with, but it's incredibly rewarding anyway. And typically these founders are the contrarian one, right? And so we like that a lot. They must be learnable. They must be ability to learn over time how to build things and also delegate something. And that is about the transition from like a product person to a great company CEO.
Do you think that people, the founders, can learn those skills, or is this something that is kind of deeply rooted inside people?
I think you can absolutely can learn. You can learn everything, pretty much. Yeah, and you have to want to be. You have to want to learn, and the same thing, and also you can learn how to learn. This is something itself, and so you have to have a mindset hungry for learn, and you have to do, and you also have to apply and execute action to be in a learnable position, and so keep, for example, like asking also for feedback is have the communication circulate in your company, have the culture in your company of incredible candid feedback, right? Because without feedback you can't learn.
Yeah,
it's just you need this kind of loop, and
so
you can learn how to become learnable over time, and you can learn everything. And the thing, and learn also understand what's your strengths or your weaknesses, your most important things. And so once you have learned that, you can also like focus on the key things that you're good at and delegate the other.
I'm also interested to know, kind of on the flip side of the people stuff, there obviously comes a time when you need to measure and evaluate a business.
Yeah, sure.
You're obviously looking at a lot of pitch decks, and I guess you're monitoring businesses that you've invested in. What are some kind of key metrics, kind of compass metrics that you like to see that give you a good indicator?
So this is Chow Mogul, and is about SaaS, and I'm a big fan of the product because it provides me an image, a picture of how healthy is the business, and so diving into the SaaS businesses. We invest SaaS in consumer, but like
just
focusing for the purpose of this conversation on SaaS, there are two metrics or criteria that I personally focus on. And let's say divide this pre-investment and after investment. Okay. There are some metrics I look for. Mm. And one is engagement. Mm-hmm. And engagement means, it depends of course product by product, but it could be a quantity measurement or a quality measurement, or both. It could be, for example, for Thai firms, is a company we invested in, and is how many Thai firms a specific organization has created and distributed over time. Mm-hmm. Or in Marvel, which is a prototyping product we've invested in, is the numbers of prototype people have created and distributed.
Yeah.
And of course, that is about quantity, but also you want to see the quality.
Yeah.
And the quality is okay, but how many people has completed a Thai form?
Yeah.
Mm. After the investment, when of course we stay also for A, B, Series A, Series B, so the company starts growing, mm-hmm. and it's when Charles Mogul comes in play. And yeah. So, I mean, at the very end, basically, I think MRR, don't lie.
Okay.
That's something I learned.
Yeah.
You can break MRR down everything. You can
put that on our wall.
Yeah, because at the end, you can break down everything and try to extract data, get conclusion. But at the end, MRR, don't lie. And you need to break down the MRR, understand the dynamic, but like net movement, net MRR movement is it encapsulates everything. Is how many new logos you can have it, how much, what's the ARPA, how your ability to expand within a specific customer and add an upsell. And on the negatives is if you're able to retain your customers or there is an unhealthy churn.
Yeah.
So definitely to after the investment to evaluate the health of the business, MRR is a big important thing that we look at. Mm. And MRR and all the MRR components, of course. I'm not a big fan of CAC lifetime value, because it's very subjective.
Yeah.
And the way you define CAC and the way you define lifetime value is a bit arbitrary. And for sure, I don't care as an investment criteria, because I don't have the time to that how it's built. And so it always, and sometimes it's, and you know, founders optimize for that. And so in a way, and it's natural. So it's always like 10 times.
Yeah.
Lifetime value CAC is 10 times.
Yeah.
And but instead, when we are in the company and we have much better access inside and understand, it's something we track.
Are there any big mistakes that you see people making with metrics? Either at the kind of pre-investment stage or post-investment, is there something that you would see and instantly kind of that's a red flag for you?
I mean, one mistake I did is focus on MRR statically.
Okay.
And what really matters is the last month. In a world where you can really affect the product and just listening to the customer and you can keep improving. What really, really matters is how many MRR you have added in the last 2 or 3 months and see if there is an acceleration or deceleration. Mm. And so, my company is an under 50,000 MRR SaaS business. It looks like the same with another $150,000 MRR in the business, but that it tells nothing.
Yeah.
It because it depends on how long did you get to 150,000 and what's your velocity.
Yeah.
And if you can grow the MRR new business very, very, very quickly and very efficiently, but there is also a big churn.
Yeah.
At some churn compound new business doesn't.
Yeah.
So the mistake could be just, okay, oh, it's 40,000 MRR. So most of the pitch we receive, they just like splash.
Okay.
The MRR, which is like a picture that tells you nothing. It tells you the cash in the next month the company will have.
Sure.
But it doesn't tell you that it could be if there is something exceptional. Because
what
we invest in is, it's more my personal side, I need something exceptional. I don't need like 15 good things.
Yeah.
I need 14 disaster things and one which is like absolutely phenomenal.
Okay.
And this could be a founder's attribute or a specific factor of the product or the companies, which is
Do you have any examples of those?
Yeah, for example, the Cisco SaaS is but like Typeform, when we saw Typeform, there's a lot of good things, a lot of bad things. Of course, we invest so early, so there are entire piece of the company organization that are not there. And so if you see that as a, some other investors say, why are you investing this? They don't have this and this and this and this. The founder don't understand this. Okay, we are totally fine with this. Mm. But what we want to see some like incredible extraordinary elements. So in Typeform there were two. One was a founder's attribute. Mm-hmm. So they are like designer genius.
Okay.
And so the way the product vision they have and what they have executed is kind of phenomenal.
Yeah.
In its simplicity, it's just incredible because form were like they didn't invent anything. This forms and survey was there for years. They just make them sexy and make them fun and make them conversational.
Yeah.
And the product vision on this is incredible. So we think that having extraordinary talent, extraordinary like design and user experience talent in the market, in the category where Typeform want to be is pivotal.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to see superpowers.
Okay.
Cool. Very binary on that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Pietro. It's been really cool to chat, and there's so much here that I'm sure that I could ask you more, but thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. Thanks very much for you. It was a pleasure.